I have a super exciting news for you. My new book, Chasing Desires, is on pre-order on Amazon. And when you pre-order this book, I'm sending you some really amazing gifts worth over $500. This is not a self-help book. I'm not teaching you what you should do to make your life a certain way. This is a story of my emotions, ugly and beautiful both. This is a tale of how I fell madly in love with myself after hating me long enough for no fault of mine. So don't miss out, especially if you are a woman. Hi, and welcome to the Corporate Life Podcast. My name is Hina Siddiqui, and I loved and hated my corporate jobs for years. This podcast is going to empower you to go high on your career without losing yourself. I invite you to join me each week as you will hear real cool stories of the real cool corporate people doing real things in the corporate world. And their experiences and advice can change your story too. Hi, this is Hina Siddiqui, and you are listening to the Corporate Life Podcast. Sales is the foundation of every business. And the truth is that a lot of people feel scared to be in this field as it involves a ton of confidence, commitment, and new challenges all the time. Today, I have the privilege of speaking with a seasoned sales director who has spent over 19 long years in the IT industry across the JAPAC region, including Japan, SE, Asia, India, and Australia, as well as in critical markets throughout EMEA. He has closed significant deals worth over $50 million and delivered up to 250% year-over-year growth by leveraging exceptional solution selling abilities and intrinsic motivation. Let's get into the mind of Sheer Sindhu Chaudhary and gain insights into his thought process, approach to problem solving, leadership style, and his perspective on the sales industry as a whole. This interview is going to provide valuable knowledge and inspiration for anyone interested in pursuing a career in sales or looking to improve their sales leadership skills. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the interview. Hi, Sheer Sindhu. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Hina. It's great to be with you always. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I'm so super excited and delighted to have you today. We are going to talk about something really, really special. Sales is the foundation of every organization. And without sales, nothing works. Like, no company can succeed. So you're going to give some really great insights about sales as a leader. First of all, let me ask you this question, Sheer Sindhu. Who's Sheer Sindhu in one word?
Very interesting question. For me, I'm a person who is driven. So if I have to describe myself in one word, I think I will use the word driven.
Oh, wow.
I'm self-motivated. That's what drives me day in, day out. The roles that I have taken, the opportunities that I have driven, the journey that overall I have taken, it's important that I must self-realize I'm a driven person. So I think the word driven will definitely be the word that I can use.
That's interesting and beautiful too. Sheer Sindhu, sales is a bit scary for a lot of people. Tell us a bit about your corporate journey so far. How and why did you get into sales?
From the childhood itself, I did my engineering. I did my mechanical engineering. And then I worked for a shipbuilding organization for 6-7 months. And you know, when I started working out there, I started interacting with a lot of junior engineers. The interns who came in. And I really felt that I could connect with people at that point of time. Then I did my MBA from Symbiosis Pune. During the MBA, I was very clear that sales is the career that I'm going to take over. I was campus recruited, I think, out of 5 people that was recruited by Sonata at that point of time. Wow. When I was recruited, 4 of them got into other functions. I was handpicked as a sales guy. Teacher itself. So from day one of my career, a post-MBA, I have done sales. Sales is a chosen field for me. Even during the MBA, I must tell you that when I was doing my internship, I was doing with Walchandnagar Industries Limited. Walchandnagar Industries in Pune is one of the very well-known organizations. And I had the opportunity to work with the Walchand Infotech, who was developing a product specifically to cater to the requirement of a shop floor problems in a manufacturing setup. So I was tasked to market it and sell it. And now during the brief period of working with Walchand Infotech as a MBA intern, I could do 3 to 4 sales, you know, in the big logo name. So
yeah.
that really convinced my belief that I'm going to be a salesperson. And, you know, it's a journey that I'm taking today.
Yeah. And I believe that we can be super successful in sales when we love numbers and when we are genuinely interested in people. We are deeply interested in people. And it's all about value exchange. The more value we can give to others, the higher the numbers increase. So what do you think about it? I'm sure that you must be loving numbers too.
So you touched three important points out here. One is loving to interact with people.
Yeah.
Loving the numbers, the number game.
Yeah.
And is the value, right? So if I can arrange these three into an order in terms of how a sales guy should drive, the first one is, you should love what you are doing. You know,
yes.
In the market today, there is a lot of AI, artificial intelligence, and other things, but still people buy from people.
Yes, absolutely.
Especially in the B2B segment where there is a complete buying process in place. Mm. And though there are guidelines, processes defined to proceed ahead for any purchase requirement, sales happens because you are connecting with the buyer on the other side.
Right.
Of the it's still the human being out there. Right?
Exactly.
Yes. So it's important to appreciate and give that kind of importance that the person is looking for to ensure that whatever he is trying to achieve in his job or the organization, what they are trying to achieve by adopting a solution, right? I'm a software sales solutions person. So whatever the objectives are there, you are trying to match those objectives.
Mm.
The second important thing is the value. Right.
Yeah.
Now, as you are connecting with them, trying to understand and articulate what they are looking for and making a human touch to the entire process, you are ensuring that you are providing the right value.
Right.
Right value to the organization, right value to the individual who is driving the process and overall.
Right.
Now, once you achieve these two factors, numbers do follow you. It automatically comes. It's the skill, how to expedite it. Now, there are techniques that we adopted in terms of how to qualify and expedite the process of sales. But, you know, the two most important things is personal connect and driving a value.
Yeah, exactly. It's all a value-driven process. And the more value we can give to others, the more successful we can get in our careers. And as we're talking about sales, so yes, it's all about the number thing and the people thing. So these two have to be, you know, in real alignment.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Chief Sindhu, what strategies have you implemented to increase sales revenue in your various workplaces as a sales leader?
First important thing for any strategy is has to have a clear vision around what is the organization is trying to achieve or the team is trying to achieve. So creating that kind of a vision is very important. You know, once you have that kind of a framework available with you, you start putting the other pieces in place.
Yeah.
Once you have the vision, you find out what is the market, what kind of a market that you are going to sell to, what is the solution that, you know, so again, software solutions, as I'm saying, is what I sell. Software solutions is peculiar in nature, right? It brings the best practices. It brings a lot of challenges also in terms of adopting the solution and making it successfully running for the organization who is adopting it.
Right.
So market segmentation, market identification, what we say is the ideal customer profile that you need to define. So once you set your vision, you set your ideal customer profile in mind, you have to bring other components in place. Your sales team, very important. You know,
yeah.
Who are the people who is going to drive those things in the market? Identifying resources who are driven. I'm using the word driven because this
because that's your keyword.
That's the keyword. Mm-hmm. Who are driven? You know, sales guys are emotional most of the times because they have to connect with other people and you know, cannot connect without your emotions outside. So sales guys are emotional. You need to find the right strategy which you will be able to get those resources within the market, right?
Yes.
So building a right sales team is also important. Once you get these things, training and development. You hire people for attitude. You hire people for the past successes they have done. Now, time to bring those into the current role or the organization they're working for. So training, giving them the right perspective in terms of what is it, I don't say it's training, it's coaching, basically, you know.
Yeah, it's coaching.
To ensure that the confidence comes in. And also, you know, coaching is time-bound. It has to be time-bound in nature so that you can assess and can re-coach to ensure that whatever is missing is coming out. So coaching is important. Yes. As you coach them and give them a very clear definition of what we are going to achieve in that market. And then comes your outbound process in terms of reaching out to your ideal customer profile. You will have to work with marketing to do a lot of program orientation to get your ideal customers find you in different online and social media, right? Different seminars and all this kind of thing. So working with marketing is also a very important step, right? You know, as you are building up this process. Now, once you define your number, trying to reach out to those people through an outbound and inbound process, it's also important to have an internal metrics. Which can define in terms of what are the measurement criteria that you are going to put. And very clearly articulating to the organization, both to the executive leadership as well as to the team, this is what is the measurement criteria that is going to achieve. Adopt the sales best practices measurement criteria within your sales automation tool. It can be a CRM tool or performance management tool that you build in. Once you do these things, you have to start now gaining that kind of momentum that you are trying to build in the market. Once you do this, you start doing a value sales, you bring in others, your strategy keeps on evolving. And as you keep on evolving, you know, you course correct as you go ahead and ensure you are achieving your result. Most important thing, the strategy part of it, and I always give it a pretty high importance, is finding the mental aspects of the people whom you are working with.
That's very important, yes.
Yes. Though you put a lot of automations, process in place, is a sense of belongingness, is a sense of taking the ownership to drive those objectives within the market. I think that's not being told or nurtured in the MBA curriculums or the books. It's a very, very critical and important to do this as you start interacting and building up your sales strategy.
Exactly. The people have to be in alignment. The people who are working together as a team, they have to be in alignment with each other. They need to. And it doesn't have to be the same kind of people, because everybody is a very unique person and giving a very unique flavor to the thing. So it's like more of diversity, but then united diversity. Imagine a healing and coaching experience in the magical Bali, Indonesia. Light yoga, healthy food, simple meditations, conscious living, inner healing, a ton of interesting activities, plus coaching sessions on creating your career success blueprint, mindset shifts, including your money mindset and peak performance. You would come back with fresh new confidence and positive power with your very own success blueprint to make a true difference at your work, impact the world around you, and make much, much more money in your career. It's happening on various dates starting October this year, and I would love for you to be a part of it. Visit my website www.authorhina.com to know more about this luxury retreat. You'd come back as a different person. I promise you that.
And one of other things which needs to be very intrinsically part of your strategy is getting the feedback from your customers or the prospects that you are working with. You have to build in or continuously improve your process or strategy, because you are hearing and learning from your prospects, customers as you go ahead.
Right. But one thing that I think, Ashish Sendu, is that thinking big, like that ability to think big, is something that makes a very successful sales strategy and sales people also, where you have that power to think really big. And owning that, right? You can have that bold claim and deliver it. Be confident enough to deliver that claim, right?
You're absolutely right. Every sales guy in his or her capacity is an entrepreneur by himself.
Correct. Absolutely.
In his mind, he is running an organization.
Yes.
Sales is an outward looking function. When you empower a salesperson, he thinks to bring revenue to the organization.
Yes.
When he thinks of bringing revenue, as you said, he has to think big. He has to think beyond the defined job criteria that has been.
Yeah.
He has to manage not only the external relationship, but the internal relationship as well. To manage and organizations who actually excel and sustain over a long period of time has actually heard from the sales guy, because he is listening from the customers and the prospects on a day-to-day basis what is expected from him.
Yeah.
I think the most important thing, as you have rightly said, thinking big, and thinking big only comes when you are owning your things. And when you start owning things, you are an entrepreneur by yourself, right?
So that's absolutely how— absolutely. And thinking big in terms of thinking beyond what looks possible. Right now, a lot of things may not look possible, but then when we make it in our mind that, okay, this is the kind of target that I would like to achieve, this is the kind of value that I would like to create for my customers, that thinking can make so many things happen.
Absolutely. It's a process with the madness.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Obsession.
Obsession.
Yes, right.
You have to be obsessed day in, day out, not on your job, on your 9-to-6 job. You're still thinking about your prospect.
Absolutely.
How to actually get more value delivered.
How to add value. Yeah.
So it's a fascinating job out there. You know?
Correct.
And people like me are blessed to have this kind of role.
Right. It's very interesting. It's very challenging. And it comes with a lot of challenges. Now, my next question to you is
It's fun.
It's not challenging. Yeah.
It's to overcome
the
mindset part of it.
It's right.
More of fun out there.
More of fun. Correct. So she said that there must be some side effects also, because I don't see anything which does not come without side effects. So what are some of the side effects that you would like to mention being a sales leader and having worked over 19 years in your industry?
Very interesting question. It makes me think about
it. Sure, take your time.
Yes. So I think as a sales guy, you know, rather than a side effect, I must say that since you are working with so many unknown entities, right? You are better equipped in your life compared to anybody else. I'm not saying that other functions are not equipped. I'm saying because the amount of variable that you handle, though you have a set process, standards, given definitions to work, but you know there are multiple variables that you have to encounter. When a sales deal is closed and when you go through negotiation, you can see so many unknown factors come in. That makes the sales guy much more equipped to handle life challenges in a much better way.
Yes.
Successful salespeople are optimists. Right?
Yeah.
They have seen life in a different way. Yes. The experience is in a different way. They're humble. The ego has been taken care of many years back.
I agree with that.
Yes. So I think the side effects are always there, you know, because you are doing, I think one of the very important thing to take be taken care of by a sales guy is to ensure that the physical fitness is always maintained. We need to do a lot of breathing exercise to ensure that, you know, there is no pressure that is building up in your mind, should not affect your body. So I think, you know, if you're completely dedicated, you do not see yourself putting other aspects of life, like giving yourself a time to relax, you know, giving yourself time to do physical exercise or something like that, do something for which will help you feel mentally better, because we are so obsessed in our work, we are always involved. Whenever you are awake, you are thinking of solving a certain process. But the positives outweigh the side effects.
Correct. And there are some time boundaries as well, because I see that when you would not like to take a call and then you need to something like working,
it happens, you know, sometimes
beyond your—
oh my goodness, there is a call. But as you get into the call, 1 minute down the line, you forget about all the other things, you know, what you are thinking about it. Because you are involved.
Yes.
The word driven comes in. You get into your emotion. You get into your things pretty quickly. So I think there's the best part of being such a dynamic professional or in such a dynamic profession. You are learning every day. Challenges, trying to solve it on a daily basis. Problem solving skills, I think, becomes much more better. And after 19 years in this industry, I think I don't see any challenge as a challenge today.
You have overcome all those. You have mastered all those.
Yes. And there is now the new challenges coming in terms of how the new paradigm in the market, like, you know, how AI is driving the market today.
Right.
How people are looking into a solution in a different perspective. all these things makes you feel that you are always involved. So learning is a continuous game out here.
Correct. And all these challenges or so-called challenges are making you to be more, you know, helping you to be more creative. To be a better problem solver, to solve problems in more creative ways.
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host, Matt Heslin, brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
Absolutely. I think the sales guys, I must tell you one thing, it's a personal, not something, the sales guys is a better life partner for anybody, you know?
Yeah, that's yes. Lovely.
Yes. You do everything to close a deal. I must tell you once. You do everything. You spend 6 months, 8 months with the customer, with the prospect to ensure that you have done all the right things. It may happen the prospect may come back to you and say that you have done everything. We have chosen you, but now we have no budget to buy it. Right. Now, you see the effort that you put in, a dedicated effort, doesn't result into the numbers. It's a 10-minute issue, and now you have to get out of it because you, as a human, you feel about it, right?
Yeah.
But as a sales guy, we are optimistic in nature, as I told you.
Yeah, so, it was a learning experience.
It's gone. We cannot do much about it. It is very internal to the organization that we are working with. Let's find another opportunity to work with them.
Yeah.
And trust me, when they will start... or reinitiate the process, they will again come back to you because they felt, So there are small setbacks here and there, but you keep moving on. And that's the journey is.
That's very important. Yes, that's very true. Sheer Sindhu, one of the biggest challenges that I see in sales is like, as you said, that managing teams with different kind of mental attitudes and calibers and, you know, and dealing with people is, I think, the most difficult task in any of the life situations and jobs and workplaces. So how has it been for you and how challenging it is to handle your teams especially in some challenging sales situations?
I have an interesting way to handle this. If we are in a group of friends and all of a group of friends, everybody thinks together in a similar way, there is no challenge.
It's
a force.
Correct.
I think the sales team that I have been able to nurture, I take it like this, as a group of friends.
Yeah.
Right? We share our common objectives. We drive with the vision that has been set.
Yeah.
The communications are clear. There may be the definitions, the matrices are well defined. Every time, if there is something that needs to be corrected, do it that point of time. As a friend, whenever, you know, a group of friends, if somebody does something wrong, the friends immediately come and jumps and tells, okay, you know, I think this is something that can be corrected, right? This is how it is, as candid it can be. So I think that's the way it is. So a sales team is more like a group of friends working together to achieve a common objective, right? It is there. So when you drive this kind of attitude, I think you are sharing your vision, you are sharing your goals, your problems together, and moving ahead towards to achieve.
Yeah, that's very interesting. That's a very interesting way of handling it and looking at it.
Yes.
Sheer Sindhu, my next question to you is, how do you approach developing and maintaining strong relationships with clients and customers? As we talked in the beginning that, you know, building relationships and being really authentically and genuinely interested in people is something, it's a very crucial part of being a sales leader or salesperson. So how do you approach that?
Very interesting again. One of my initial sales presentation, I was doing internal organization, and I will not take the gentleman, it's a very senior gentleman. I was doing my presentation and he asked me continuously, so what's there in for me? So it's very important that to understand when you start working with your prospects, your customers, they are constantly asking in their mind, I'm going to interact with this person, or I'm going to interact with this organization. I'm going to interact to ensure that I buy something from that organization to enhance my processes, my functions, etc. As I am interacting, what's there in for me? So as a team or as an individual, always objective is to ensure that we drive that message to our prospects, customers.
Right.
This is what is there for you. And that's what we call as value, right?
Right.
It can be quantified in different or classified into different categories.
Yeah.
Solution value, long-term value, commercial value, return of investment value. You know, you can put a word in front of the value. And when you start defining these values,
yeah,
and giving, as I spoke earlier, give the importance and the priority that the organization is looking for in every relationship, you know, when you are driving it, and ensuring that you are always answering this question, what is there in for him or her when we are interacting? I think that's what is the important consideration when you are interacting with your customers.
Yeah, that's interesting. And you are a master negotiator. I have read in your bio. So can you tell me about a time when you had to negotiate a complex sales deal and how you approached the negotiation process as a master negotiator, of course?
Yeah. So negotiation, again, is a set of processes, inbuilt processes.
Yeah.
One is to understand the background, the dynamics around it. You know, you need to understand what is that. What is the compelling reason for which the organization or this deal is going to happen, right? Then we need to identify what are the drivers for the organization to make the decision, right? Third is also to understand who is negotiating with you from that organization. You may negotiate with somebody which may not result into a sales, you know, ultimately. So you need to find the right person also. Or the right authority to do it. So if you have these data points with you, bring those data points into the discussions as you are starting interacting with your prospects. It's data-driven. Negotiations are all data-driven.
Right.
Yeah. Negotiations are all explanations, which is justified.
Yeah.
All the explanation may not be absolutely solving the point, but it is actually giving the perspective what you are trying to solve.
Yeah.
Right. So preparing yourself with the background, understanding the stakeholders and the matrices, and then driving the discussion objectively with proper preparation makes negotiations possible.
Right. The more data and information you have, the better you are able to negotiate.
And all this is good. If you are not connecting with your prospect or your customer, the decision will never come to you in your favor.
Right.
So in the personal equation, relationship, building a relationship is very, very important.
Very important, yeah. Right. And
answering the question, what is there for me, for him, the buyer, is the ultimate objective to see in terms of what we are trying to achieve. Is the combination of data, background, process, and human networking.
Human connection and network, correct. And that reminds me of the fact that people make decisions on the emotional basis, right? They emotionally make a decision and then they look for the logical evidence for that. So it's very important to be able to have those genuine feelings for our customers and, you know, organizations that we are giving value to. And then from that place, like our energy travels with our intentions.
Absolutely. One of the things that I have realized, and I must bring it here, is that spending 19 years within in the industry,
yeah,
I felt that one of the aspects that I wanted to learn more and do some more work on that area is how neuroscience impacts the decision-making in a B2B buying process. As a B2C, you know, an individual buyer, when I buy my laptop or buy my car, my emotion precedes.
Correct.
B2B is, as I said, is mostly driven by the matrices and the methodology. But still, what kind of a psychological or neuro function that is applicable in this buying process is something that intrigues me a lot. And I'm trying to get into the research out here. I'm in the process of doing my doctoral program, where I'm trying to understand how those aspects influence a decision process in an overall, you know, software solutions, you know, in the product market, especially.
That shows your passion for this field and for the growth, because when you are continuously growing, when you're continuously indulging in the growth process, that makes you better at your job day by day, because this is a lifelong process. We evolve until we are alive. So this is very interesting.
Absolutely. And I think those aspects, if understood in a much better way, you can fine-tune your program.
Yeah.
You are driving any sales program.
Right.
You know, when you are identifying your ideal customer profile, or you are trying to maximize your revenue in a certain market, or trying to get an entry in a new market, understanding those aspects are very, very critical for an organization to see a high growth in those areas.
And there are some short-term goals, there are some long-term goals. Like when we are talking about a vision, there has to be both, right? There has to be a space for long-term goals. And then you need to, set and achieve some short-term goals also in order to achieve that vision. So my next question to you is that, what is your approach to developing and executing a revenue growth strategy as a chief revenue officer? And how do you balance short-term results with long-term sustainability, Shishendu?
If you look into any sort of a growth plan that is driving, you know, and especially as we are discussing about the chief revenue officer, you know, role out there, you know, there has to be an identification of the leading factors and the trailing factors. Most of the organizations do indulge in putting a lot of stress on the trailing factors, which are achieving the revenue numbers.
Mm.
The leading factors are very important to identify.
Yeah.
As I have mentioned repeatedly in the last few minutes, is identifying your ideal customer profile.
Yes.
Looking into your strategy in terms of how you are going to reach out. What is the messaging that you are going to drive in the market? What is the problem that you are trying to solve? What is in for the customer, right? What is the value that the customer is going to, you know, derive by adopting your application? What is the long-term vision and short-term vision you are aligning with by doing this? So I think those are the leading factors, which needs a lot of considerations and time and energy to be spent.
Right.
Now, once you identify those leading factors, the trailing factors, which are follow-up basically to the leading factors, are basically what numbers you are going to achieve. Right? What is the timeline that you are putting across to achieve those numbers? So those two important things needs to be very clearly identified and defined. Another very important is measurement of your progress.
Correct.
What you measure, right. You grow. Right. Yeah. As you measure, as you grow. So again, there also it has to be clearly communicated, both at the organizational level, if possible, to the customers also, saying that this is what the organization, as an organization, we are trying to achieve and grow, because everybody appreciates to be associated with somebody who is trying to grow, right? And then, very importantly, to the organization, that the sales head or the chief revenue officer that I am leading, the articulations and the sharing of those visions are very important and clearly understood.
Yeah.
The other important thing is once you do all these things, it's very important that you work on constantly qualifying an opportunity, because individual counts will aggregate to your overall numbers.
Correct.
So running a completely agile process of constant qualification, I have a specified metrics in terms of how I define and quantify any opportunity in terms of qualifications, we known as a scorecard, which we define. Continuously define this qualifying to ensure that you are re-evaluating the journey that you are taking to the customer, because any sales solution, software solution sales, is not short. It takes minimum 3 to 9 months duration to mature and evolve. It's a long period of time.
Mm.
So as you go ahead and start engaging with your prospects and everything, constant qualification is important. Constantly making these people aware of the value that we are going to achieve and drive. So I think if you have to put 3 or 4 words in terms of how the strategy will form, is, you know, defining the leading factors, defining your real numbers, what you are trying to achieve, the trailing factor, and how soon you are going to achieve, then working on the metrics to ensure that you define and the contributing factors in terms of how many salespeople you receive, you require, how many events that you need to do, what are the different activities that you need to do to achieve it, and then constantly qualify your opportunities to drive revenue growth. So these are the few aspects that needs to be worked on.
I see. Ashish Sindhu, where do you see yourself in the next 5 years?
So next 5 years, I wanted to contribute as an industry leader from a sales perspective. I wanted to take up a role which is senior most, constantly learning in the sales organization for the organization that I'm going to work with or I'm going to associate it with. And then work on my vision to ensure that I keep on constantly learning.
Yeah.
Because beyond 5 years, my overall objective is to go back to academics. You know, whatever I have learned over 20, 25 years, go and impart the learning to the group of people that's coming up and getting into this domain, sharing the knowledge and building successful team for the organizations.
Yeah.
I think in next 5 years is all about driving what I have believed so far and driving with more force the industry leader for the sales.
Beautiful. Before I let you go, I would like to ask you this question. Like, as a sales leader who has spent so many years in the sales industry, what three pieces of advice would you like to give to the sales teams out there who are constantly struggling in their sales, who don't like their jobs, and who are just doing a sales job because this is they have to, not because they want to? So what would you like to say to them?
You know, you have to smile to when you are doing your job.
Yeah.
Understand that whether you are smiling or not.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. What are the work areas that you need to put in to ensure that the smile comes back to your face?
Yeah.
Get yourself motivated. Get yourself inspired. Keep smiling, and the number will flow in automatically.
I agree with that. Yeah.
I think that's the message I would like to give to sales team or any sales person across, is smile and do your job and get your numbers done.
Right. And be grateful for what you have been given, because sales is service, right? Not everybody is chosen for this thing. And I have learned from my mentor that sales is service. When you are actually, you know, offering something to somebody who would need it the most, then it's service. It's not like you are doing it for your own selfish reason. You're doing it for their reason. So it's very important to smile and get your numbers done. That's a beautiful advice. Ashish Sindhu, what's the best way to contact you?
I can be reached by my mail, ashishsindhu.chaudhary@gmail.com. I can be reached by LinkedIn. You can easily find me on LinkedIn. Send me a note on an email. I'm always available and I will reply back to you.
Wonderful. And I'm going to include your in contact information in the show notes section so that people can find you there and contact you if they want to. So thank you very much for your time. You gave really great insights into the sales profession. And as a sales leader, this really, really matters for the people who are listening to us right now, the corporate people, and a lot of them are sales professionals. I'm 100% sure about it.
Thank you very much.
Now connect with me on LinkedIn and let me know, what's your number one key takeaway from this interview with Ashish Sindhu Chaudhary? That's it for this week. I'll see you next week. Love you guys and girls. Stay happy and safe. Thank you for tuning in. I invite you to subscribe to this podcast and go to my website, authorhina.com, for life and career changing tools and resources. Be sure to download and read my book, Secrets of the Six-Figure Employee with Zero Stress. It's available on Amazon.